In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. This was 4,000 years in the making. God did not create man or the world so that he might be distant from the world. He never planned to simply be an observer, helping, blessing, and providing guidance where necessary, but somewhat detached from the world. He loved the world, and chiefly he loved man. And above all things, love desires to be with the object of its love. So how glorious that first conversation between God and Adam when God put Adam in the Garden of Eden and commanded him, "Do not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." How sublime the second conversation when God brings the woman to the man and Adam sings, "Flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone." How glorious the third conversation, as God instructs Adam and the woman to fill the earth and subdue it and to rule over all things. You see how freely God dwelt with our first parents. He came and went as he pleased. He created and instructed and blessed them. Love, joy, and peace filled that world as God dwelt among man and man with God. So how God's heart must have broken as his beloved creatures ran and hid with the serpent. They're afraid. They're afraid of God. And so in love, he banished them from the Garden of Eden lest they eat from the tree of life and live forever as sinners on this earth. In love, he distanced himself from them. He did not appear to them in visions or theophanies before the flood. Men called upon his name, and he certainly still ruled over the world, but in love he did not appear to them. He did appear to the patriarchs, but then he left. Finally, about 2,600 years after the fall, God took up residence in the tabernacle and then again the temple. Now there's a place where man can find God. Now there's a place where God can dwell on earth with men. And yet how many veils and courtyards, how many regulations were necessary for that to happen? There still was a separation between God and man. So in love, God built veils and courtyards. In love, he is protecting man by these regulations. For holiness cannot dwell with sin, and light and darkness cannot remain together. So veils upon veils and courtyards upon courtyards and incense and washings and priests and garments and above all sacrifice upon sacrifice. Something needs to die and shed his blood if God is to remain on this earth. You see our sinful flesh quite clearly. How weak we are, yet how loving still our Creator. How selfishly arrogant we are. We think we would have been okay if God would have let us stay in the Garden of Eden. Is it really that bad to live forever on this earth? And you see how man still strives to accomplish that reality, prolong life at all costs. We think we would have been okay at the foot of Mount Sinai as all of Israel quaked and begged God not to speak to them. We would have received him probably with awe and joy. We would have been okay in the fields of Bethlehem as the glory of the Lord surrounded the shepherds, but not us. We would not have been stricken with fear, so we think. How little we perceive. How little we know about our own weaknesses. We have much to learn. The sinful flesh fears the light and is quite content in darkness. It doesn't mind that God has distanced himself from us, because now we can create and destroy at a whim with little interference from God. We can run the world. We can do as we please. And yet sin continues to separate God from man. And you see that even in the separation of people on earth. Put two sinners together and what will happen? There will be discord and strife. Whether they're children or whether they're married adults, sinners cannot live in perfect peace and harmony with one another. Sin always creates a separation, whether it's between countries or individuals. There is our deep problem, sinners. And as long as there are sinners who commit sins, there will be discord and strife and anger and sin. So if we can't even live in perfect peace with those whom we call our loved ones, our family, how can we live in perfect peace with God? He is love, we are not. He is holy, we are not. We are the problem, not him. He doesn't need to change his law. We need to repent. A wretched state truly is unbearable. Who could fault God for condemning the whole world? Who could fault God for justly giving men the condemnation of hell? Who could accuse God of being petty or vindictive or rash for handing out what is rightfully earned? Who can fully comprehend this most holy night? While we were sinners hiding under the cover of darkness, the Word became flesh. Those four simple words should fill us with holy joy and eternal thanks. What God is, we are. How we live, so also God lived. The eternal is born. The Almighty is weak. The omniscient can't even babble. Who of us deserves such honor? Who of us deserves to celebrate that most holy birth? Or even to set up trees and to bake cookies and make decorations? Who of us deserves to sit in these pews this day and ponder those four simple words that up until this day were nothing more than a distant promise? The Word became flesh. God is united to man. Two natures, one person. For all eternity. God was always present in the world and certainly always ruled the world, but he did not always dwell among men. Today he does. No visions, but a baby. No theophanies, but a child. Mary is not afraid to hold him, to nurse him, and to swaddle him. The shepherds, too, are filled with holy joy as they run to see the wonderful things God has done. The Magi bow down, and Joseph takes him and his mother to Egypt. His flesh touches the leper and is touched by the sinful woman, pouring on ointment and drying his feet with her hair. His flesh touches the bier at Nain. His flesh held the five loaves, giving thanks to God, and also touched the eyes of the blind. His flesh took the hand of Jairus' daughter. All that he did as God and man. To touch Jesus is to touch the divinity. They never acted separately, but always together, the divine working through the humanity to restore his fallen creatures. So to be with Jesus is to be with the eternal God. The many veils and courtyards and regulations and washings are all gone, for the Word is flesh. The Word became flesh so that he might die. No man can redeem his brother. Even a perfect man would save only himself. And God cannot die, but he alone can save. So God became man, so that he might have flesh to give and blood to shed, and in the process make atonement for your every sin. It's a laborious, gruesome task because so great were your sins. But he asked you to do nothing, to decide nothing, to dedicate nothing, to give nothing, for he alone, in love, desired to be your Savior. So we love Christmas because we love Good Friday and Easter, and we love Good Friday and Easter because we love Christmas. They form a euphoric concert of holy feasts as we celebrate the wonderful things God has done to make atonement for our every sin, so that God might dwell among us and we with him. And now he lives. The same body Mary held lives. Sin is left in the grave, but his flesh is not. He rose. The Word remains flesh. Christmas is an eternal reality that had changed the course of the world's history. Today, God has done something new. Today, God has become man. Today, he has given us a new revelation of his love in a child set for a cross. Thus, he declares with joy, I will be with you always to the very end of the ages, for the dwelling of God is with man. As he spoke in the days of Eden, so he speaks to us today. And he feeds us his own body and blood for the forgiveness of sins. God dwells among men once more. It's unseen, but it's not distant. It's imperceptible, but it's still corporal. No longer separated between us and him. God has made atonement for every sin and gives you the very sacrifice that accomplished that work. The Word is flesh. God is man. Take and eat and enjoy a blessed and holy communion with God. God, our Lord, is no longer angry. He is our flesh and our blood and now sits at the very right hand of God to rule all things as our brother. If he were still ill-disposed to us, if he still decided to be separated from us, he would not have taken on our flesh. If he still wanted to be distant and aloof, he would not have come to dwell on this altar. So what you have today far exceeds the temple Solomon built, the tabernacle Moses constructed, far exceeds Jacob's ladder, and even the Garden of Eden. You are far more blessed, for the Word is now flesh and dwells among you, so that he might dwell in you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.